Hi, y'all. Welcome to Two Queers, Five Books, the sort of sequel to our podcast, Two Queers, Four Questions. I, Ezra Furman, and she, Agnes Barinski, are exploring the Torah portion from a queer perspective. We hope you enjoy.
Vayigash. I think this is a drash about faith. Faith is sort of embarrassing to talk about. It's gotten branded as a kind of Christian word, and yet it's all over Judaism, but a slant. There's God's faithfulness, which is more about loyalty, steadfastness. And as for us, we're more often enjoined to fear God than to have faith in God. Ask a Jew if she believes in God, and often the answer will be, I have a memory of my father saying once, oh, friendships will sort of fade away. You'll have a family, that will be the focus, and your friendships will become less and less important. Friendship was then, continues to be central to my sense of self, to my sense of the life I have participated in creating. And yet, there's so much in our society that insists that friendship, which is to say, relationships without a certain legal or ritualized container, are lesser somehow. I go to a shul that goes out of its way to honor the centrality of community to Jewish life and actualizes that commitment in any number of ways. And yet, when it comes to the moments of ritual at the center of weekly services, legal and biological family comes first. There is an aliyah for wedding anniversaries. There are aliyot for parents of new children. The unit of the immediate family is central to every B'nai Mitzvah. And who says mourner's Kaddish? Really a very narrowly defined set of relationships, parents, grandparents, children, siblings, spouses. The rest of us sit and think privately of the people we loved and lost. Specific legal obligations define familial relationships, make them real. Friendship is nice, sure, but it rests on different grounds. It's not made official legally or halachically. It rests on a ground of faith. Towards the end of this week's Parsha, we read about how Jacob slowly acquires all the farmland of Egypt on behalf of Pharaoh. The famine he predicted is on and getting worse. Egyptians from all over come to Joseph for food, and Joseph takes their money and gives them food, and then the money is gone and they come back because they still need food. Give me your livestock, says Joseph, and I'll let you eat. And they do. And then the livestock is gone. And they come back because they still need food. And they say, we have no money, we have no livestock, all we have left is our land and our labor. And Joseph says, okay, I'll take both, and then I'll let you eat. And in this way, all the money, all the livestock, all the farmland of Egypt passes over into Pharaoh's hands by way of Joseph, and all the people of Egypt become serfs. Sharecroppers, really. And to complete this process of ensuring complete dependency, Joseph takes one last step. And Joseph removed the population, town by town, from one end of Egypt's border to another. And then Joseph says to the people, Hen kaniti etchem hayom ve'et advantechem leparo, whereas I have this day acquired you and your land for Pharaoh. It's kind of chilling. Joseph, in this moment of natural disaster, happens to have a lot of power, and he seeks to make that power permanent. I don't need to remind you that we have a long history of forced relocation in this country. And the Hebrew word here has that edge to it, kaniti etchem, I have acquired you, purchased even. That word does have other resonances elsewhere. Famously in the Song of the Sea, just after God has brought the people out of Egypt, Ad yavor amcha Hashem, ad yavor amzu kanita. Till your people cross over, Hashem, till your people cross over whom you have acquired. We, in that story, become like the Egyptians. We become dependents on someone else, and in that way enter into a kind of relationship. So we may be chilled by the ways in which Joseph acquires the Egyptian people, but there is a model for it elsewhere. God acquires us. In fact, according to the Midrash, there are four things God is said to acquire in Tanakh. Israel, us, wisdom, or Torah, heaven and earth, and the Holy Temple. Purchasing, acquiring them can't be all bad, no? If it's something God does, how bad can it be if one of the things one can acquire this way is wisdom? The rabbis cite Mishlei, Proverbs, when they talk about God's acquisition of wisdom. Hashem kanani reshit darcho kedem mipa'alav me'az. Hashem acquired me at the beginning of God's path as the first of God's doings of old. But there is something missing there. Later in Mishle, we get the following. Lama ze machir biyad kasil, liknot chachma velev ein. What good is money in the hand of a fool to purchase wisdom when he has no heart? Acquisition, even as practiced by God, even when its object is something as deep and unlimited as wisdom, has its limits. Joseph, dear Joseph, was so often invited into relationship and then tossed aside. Into a pit, into a prison, he was invited into intimacies and then forgotten. Dear Joseph, tender, visionary, sensitive, and queer, and also he has a complicated relationship to relationship. He was shaped by trauma and exclusion. It's understandable that he might seek a relationship that would feel solid, undeniable. A relationship that doesn't require the painful, terrifying work of faith. A relationship rooted in power and dependency. I have acquired you, he says to all the people of Egypt. I have built, step by step, an unbreakable relationship. Its foundation may be power and dependency, it may be built on fear, control, and precarity, but to Joseph, it feels safe. It feels safe because it requires very little faith to sustain. And a relationship without faith is maybe the only kind of relationship he knows how to form. I wonder if I'm thinking about faith this week because I have been struggling. I have felt unable to enter the room of certain conversations. I'm not replying to emails, I'm quiet in group texts. A little hopeless, a little middle of the night awake and sad, anxious, a little stuck in grief of all that has already happened. It all feels so impossible already. What point is there in continuing to try so hard? God's presence feels more like an idea than a daily accompaniment. I talk to her and that feels good, but then there is a reminder of the world. I wish there was something I knew I could do and be done with it. I wish there could be some relief. I don't know what will happen in Gaza. I don't know what will happen to all the relationships frayed and bridges burned and lives destroyed. But some part of me knows that there is a thing called faith and I need to have that. Joseph must have learned about relationships at least a little bit from his father, Jacob. Jacob, after all, is the one who tried to secure his father's love by changing his legal status, purchasing a birthright on the DL with a bowl of soup. This is the Jacob who wanted a blessing from an angel and got it because he had a mean chokehold when he got the angel on a wrestling mat. This is the man who felt that love was scarce, that it was only through strength and shrewdness that it could be secured. Epic Jacob, gorgeous Jacob, legendary, iconic Jacob, and this is the Jacob who, in this week's Parsha, tells Paro, Me'at v'ra'im hayu yimei shnei chayai. My days, the days of my life, have been bitter and few. 2 weeks from now, we'll read how a new king arose over Egypt, and that king did not know Joseph, and all the power Joseph felt he acquired will be gone. His days, in the eyes of this new pharaoh, might as well have been bitter and few as well. I don't think our texts only show us things that are supposed to be clearly admired or condemned. I think our text shows us messy things, ugly things. I think our texts show us people shaped by their parents and their broken hearts. People acting in messy ways, ways that have generational consequences. It's good to have this kind of ugliness in our pasts because it is a way of saying this past too can have a future. Now find it. You cannot acquire faith. It is not a legal status. It is not a form of ownership. You cannot buy it with a bowl of soup, and you cannot buy it for all the grain in Egypt, even during a famine. You step into it day after day. For love is as fierce as death, passion is mighty as Sheol. Its darts are darts of fire, a blazing flame. Blasts, vast floods cannot quench love, nor rivers drown it. If a man offered all his wealth for love, he would be laughed to scorn. I will not be called to the Torah with my friends to mark any anniversaries. We will not, in a traditional service, at least say Kaddish for each other when, God forbid, one day one of us is gone. Our friendship cannot be acquired, it can only be sustained, an ongoing work of faith. The name of our Parsha is Vayigash, and he approached. An approach can be a risky move, a move of vulnerability. Our hearts are broken, the world is a nightmare. I do think there are forms of relationship that can never be secured legally. I do think there is ugliness in our past. I do think we need to talk to each other. I do think we need to dream towards relationships. relationships that will scare us, compromise our defenses, sustain us. I do think we need faith. Bo Vinikash. Come, let's approach.